Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com/stuff and use the offer code STUFF.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark with Charles W. Chuck Bryant. That makes us Stuff You Should Know. And Jerry's here too, so it's all good.
The original gang.
Yep.
How's it going?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Okay, then.
Let's get to it.
Yeah, do you have a good setup for this one?
No, I don't. No, I think it kind of speaks for itself. I mean, it's bipolar disorder. Like, it's been around long enough, and I think it's been exposed.
Sure.
Enough. People have been educated enough that, you know, anything I do would just seem jackassish.
Well, we were just talking before we hit record about whether or not we know anyone who has bipolar disorder. And I think most people probably know someone. You might not even know it. But I had a very specific friend in college who had it. And that was, you know, I was like 20. So it was, you didn't know about that stuff.
Right.
When you were 20, at least I didn't. So it was very weird. That's the first time I'd ever heard the term.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he fit the profile as far as being super up and full of life and energy one moment, and then super down and very troubled, to say the least.
Yeah.
And these are words I'm using from my 20-year-old self. You know, I just thought, man, he's like...
He's super up.
Super happy. Or now he's super down. But that's sort of a rudimentary way to describe it.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that is bipolar disorder in a nutshell. That's why they used to call it manic depressive disorder, too.
Yeah, when did they stop that?
I think maybe in the 90s.
Yeah.
It seems like to me.
Sounds about right.
And you're not too far off from everybody knowing somebody with bipolar disorder, because apparently about 5.7 million adults in the U.S. are diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And I think 3% of the population worldwide is estimated to suffer from it.
Yeah, and you said adults. It can manifest itself in children, but generally mid-teenage years and up is when you're going to first start seeing signs of it.
Yeah, 15 to 25 what I understand.
In general.
Yeah. And as you said, Chuckers, like the condition of bipolarity is characterized by intense, frequent swings from very, very happy to very, very sad. And it's much beyond the average person's mood swings. Because, I mean, like if you're 15 years old and you're listening to this and you're like, well, sometimes I'm unhappy and then other times I'm sad, that's normal.
Yeah.
This is far beyond normal, like where you are in either case, like you say, super up or super depressed, it's nowhere near what you are normally.
Yeah.
And in some cases of the most severe bipolar disorder, there is no normal. It's either totally one way or totally the other.
Yeah.
And the person suffering from it just swings back and forth maybe over the course of a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And lives like that.
Yeah. Sadly, we have a couple of stats about the effects we'll get to early here. You are 40% less likely to have a job if you are bipolar.
Yeah.
That seems really high.
Yeah.
10 times more likely to abuse alcohol or drugs, which is has a cyclical effect because alcohol and drugs are really rough on you if you have bipolar disorder.
Well, yeah, they can trigger a swing one way or the other.
Yeah, I saw that in my friend actually in college for
sure.
Oh,
yeah?
Yeah. And 15% of bipolar patients successfully commit suicide out of the 25 to 50% who try it. And those numbers are startlingly high.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very high. That's
startlingly?
Startlingly.
Is that a word?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's talk about this. I've already kind of given a rough overview, but let's dig into the symptoms of bipolar disorder.
Yeah, they're basically, they characterize two swings, mania and depression. If you're having a manic episode, you're going to be in a great mood. You're going to be high on life. You're going to have a lot of energy. You're probably going to be talking really fast.
It's called logorrhea.
Say what?
Logorrhea.
What's that?
Excessive talkativeness.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Just really fast thoughts, like everything. What was that movie with Brad Cooper and De Niro?
Silver Linings Playbook.
No, the other one. I knew you were going to say that. Although that is...
What other movie have those two been in together?
The one with where you take a pill and you can like tap into more of your brain, which is...
De Niro was in that too?
Yeah.
I don't know the name of that movie. I know what you're talking about.
It wasn't a very good movie, but...
Exceptional or amazing or something like that.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
This is at the point when people are yelling into their car stereos.
including Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
He's like, you idiot.
Yeah, and I can't believe I just forgot about Silver Linings Playbook because that directly covers this.
Yeah.
But what I was talking about was the manic. He was almost manic in that other movie where just ideas all the time at hyper speed, mm-hmm. and he just couldn't do them fast enough.
Yeah.
So that's characteristic of a manic episode.
Sorry, Bradley Cooper.
You're distracted. You don't maybe need as much sleep. You're restless. You're irritable. You might want to have a lot of sex.
Yeah.
Like everything's just... magnified, I think.
Yeah, and with a manic episode, there are often, like all of this is often accompanied by a sensation of euphoria. So most people who suffer from bipolar disorder don't go seeking treatment when they're in a manic state.
Right, because they can like that.
Yeah. For some people, a manic state, you can have all these things, but it's instead of accompanied by euphoria, it's accompanied by irritability. Quickness to anger.
Sure.
So it's not all fun and games for everybody.
Yeah.
But for the most part, if you're in a manic episode and you're bipolar, you enjoy the manic episodes way more than you enjoy the depressive episodes.
Yeah, and I think both are super rough on friends and family because in the manic state, you don't know quite what you're going to get. You know.
Right. Well, like you engage in very risky behavior. You may make a bunch of risky investments.
Yeah.
May buy a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It can go so far as to you can have psychotic symptoms. So in a manic episode where you're displaying psychotic symptoms, you may think you are God or totally infallible, untouchable, can do no wrong, and then that can feed into the symptoms of engaging in very risky behavior.
Yeah, you could even hallucinate.
Right.
Like full-on see things.
Yeah, you suffer from delusions and hallucinations.
So the DSM says that if you have a certain number of manic symptoms for at least 1 week, then that is considered a manic episode.
So that has kind of changed.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Apparently with the DSM-5, this is DSM-4 stuff.
Gotcha.
With the DSM-5, they really kind of I think the prevailing idea was, what's with this whole bipolar, otherwise specified?
Right.
Not otherwise specified?
Yeah.
That's just a total cop-out, which we'll get to in a minute. But the idea that there's like this, you don't fit this one or this one, so you fit this generic third
random category.
I thought
the same
category.
Thing, actually. I'm glad that's changed.
I think they've kind of dug into diagnosing it even more, changed some of the thresholds and exclusionary criteria.
Yeah.
And now, it's supposed to be a little more laser guided.
Yeah.
But one of the things they did change was that, for example, I think as little as 5 days of an episode is enough to constitute a diagnosis.
All right.
Rather than like a week or 2 weeks or something like
right.
that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then you have hypomania, which is sort of like mania light. It's just a less intense version of mania. So that's the manic swing. The depressive side of the coin, is exactly what you think, but like amplified by a million.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not just sad, you feel despair and you're sluggish and you can't focus and you're restless and you're irritable. These are where the suicidal thoughts are coming. So it's not your garden variety, depression.
Right.
That you might feel on a day to day basis. 'Cause we all feel that.
That's right. And you might also experience mixed symptoms, which is called a mixed episode. So, for example, you might have like a lot of intense energy.
Yeah.
But you might also be suffering from feelings of utter despair, which sounds like a horrible combination.
Yeah.
And basically, you can take, say, any mania and then add just some of the depressive, like suicidal thoughts, manic suicidal thoughts.
Right, right.
That would be a mixed episode.
Right. And then you have something called rapid cycling, which is when these swings are presenting themselves. Do you know what DSM-5 says? Like,
I couldn't find that it had a lot of changes to the rapid cycling. I think that what they found was that drug that doesn't necessarily respond to drugs very well.
Right.
And they've kind of started to understand rapid cycling a little more, but I don't know what they changed with the diagnostic criteria for that.
Well, here they characterize it by a year of at least 4 episodes of mania, hypomania, or depression.
Right. So, like, if you have 4 episodes in a year, you've got rapids. Apparently, that's rapid.
Right.
I think it can be a lot more rapid than that. I think, like, that's the minimum to be considered rapid cycling.
Okay. All right, so what are the different types of bipolar disorder today?
There's definitely bipolar 1.
Right,
which
most severe.
Is essentially, your life is going from one end of the spectrum to the other.
Right.
There's not periods in between, really, where you're stable.
Right.
That's the most severe, obviously.
Yeah, you have bipolar 2, which...
the sequel.
That's right. That means you have at least one episode of depression and one, at least one hypomanic episode. But you could feel, you know, somewhat stabilized in between.
Right. Which is a big differentiator,
sure,
apparently, between 1 and 2. And then, like we said, there used to be bipolar disorder not otherwise specified.
AKA the cop out.
Right. And there was a lot of people who were just kind of fitting into this and weren't necessarily getting the right diagnosis.
Yeah.
And I guess they've expanded the criteria, for bipolar 1 and 2. And then they've also kind of looked into, massive depressive disorder.
Uh-huh.
And then said, well, this has some aspects of mania as well. And that's technically a bipolar disorder too. So
right. They
kind of did away with it a little bit, I think, because they thought they were looking bad.
Yeah, it's so hard to categorize. I mean, I know they take a lot of heat. It's tough to categorize mental illness because it's so different for everyone. And
well, a lot of people criticize the approach.
Yeah.
The basis of the DSM is tell me how you're feeling.
Right.
Which is flawed in and of itself to begin with because
Sure. Subjective
reporting is just completely unreliable.
Yeah, but you can't take a blood test and get
Not
a lab
yet.
Result.
And then secondly, to further subjectively interpret those subjective self-reports into supposed, you know, criteria.
Yeah.
And then saying, well, you have X, X, and X, but you don't have X, so technically you're not bipolar.
Right.
Which means you don't have, your insurance won't cover these meds that you need.
Right.
The whole system's very screwed up, which is why they're hoping to do things like create blood tests that
Right. Say,
you have bipolar 1, and it's because of this, these neurotransmitters are messed up. So you'll respond very well to this specific dose of this medicine. I don't think we're more than 10 years, 15 years away from it.
Boy, that'd be great.
But it's going to be a long, horrible 10 or 15 years for people who are suffering the most from bipolar disorder.
So yeah, that's true.
That can't come fast enough.
And then the final, unless that's gone away too, cyclothymia. Is that still around?
Mm-hmm.
That is the least severe, and that is at least 2 years of hypomania and milder depression swings.
And I think also I believe it's still around, but I think it's changed a little too. And I think that apparently the child psychologists of the field said, you guys, there's a lot of exuberance and even mania symptoms that are totally normal
right.
in adolescence. So let's tighten this up a little bit, because we don't want kids to be diagnosed with bipolar just because their parents think that they're hyper.
Right. Put my 15-year-old on lithium.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that they managed to kind of change the criteria for cyclothymia, saying this is just above the normal threshold of mood swings.
Right.
Yeah.
So like we said, they don't know, or I don't know if we did, they don't still know what causes it directly.
Nor do they know how the drugs that treat it are
working.
Effective. Yeah.
Yeah.
They
I mean, there's that a lot works. Of like, try this out.
It's like, we know spaghetti will start to stick to a refrigerator. We don't know exactly why, but let's throw it at the side anyway.
What they do know is that genetics can play a role. You are going to, have an increased likelihood to develop it if someone in your, like if your parents had it, let's say. But they also have these odd outliers, like you could be a twin and your twin has bipolar disorder, but you don't.
Right.
So it's just sort of a mystery still.
Well, yeah, it seems like people are genetically predisposed, and then an environmental factor can trigger their bipolar disorder.
Like a, rough childhood or a bad life event.
Or something really, really good.
Yeah, that's true.
But a sudden swing in normalcy in a person that is genetically predisposed to bipolar disorder is what can kick it off in your life.
Yeah. We already talked about drugs and alcohol. That can definitely trigger seasonal changes. I think we've talked about seasonal affective disorder.
Sad. Yeah.
Which I think most people experience a little bit of that.
Right. But again, if you're genetically predisposed for the way I see it, and this is totally unscientific, but just from researching this.
Right.
It seems like you there's a normal baseline for brain chemistry.
Yeah.
And it's not a thin line. It's like a pretty good size block.
Yeah.
And it's easy to also get outside of that one way or the other.
Right.
And when you are outside of it, you have the symptoms of bipolar disorder. And if you're bipolar 1, you're just constantly going from the top to the bottom of that block and outside of it.
That sounds very scientific and easy to understand.
The block?
Well, I mean, maybe not scientific, but easy to understand.
Okay. And then if you say have bipolar 2, you can exist within that normal range, but you can be knocked out of it. But your brain chemistry is already predisposed to having bipolar disorder by virtue of being able to overproduce or underproduce certain neurotransmitters. That's what I think will ultimately be the understanding of it.
Well, I know they definitely tie a lot of mental disorders to either too much or not enough dopamine and serotonin. Like it's definitely brain chemistry going on.
Yes.
You know?
And they think that that's the basically the basis of it is just fluctuations in brain chemistry.
Yeah, like super low serotonin during manic and depressive episodes is charted.
Yeah, and apparently serotonin's one of the brain one of the neurotransmitters that are like, everybody calm down. Let's just keep things stable here.
Right.
That's what serotonin is. And you can have too much dopamine, which can result in both mania and depression.
Yeah.
And I think too much is also present in psychosis, too. So hallucinations, delusions, that's why you can have those.
It's such a tough thing to try and study, you know?
Yeah.
I'm reading that, I started that book, John Ronson, the great John Ronson, who listens to our show, by the way.
Yeah.
Writer of Men Who Stare at Goats.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, he's a fan. And,
hey, John Ronson.
His book, The Psychopath Test. I started reading that.
Yeah.
It's super interesting so far.
Is it semi-historical fiction? Is it nonfiction? Is it totally fiction?
It's sort of a look at how the industry, the mental health industry, tackles mental health.
So it's nonfiction?
Yes.
That sounds like it's up my alley then.
Yeah, I should have said nonfiction right off the bat.
Yeah. You're like, I'm going to make you guess.
Yeah, I will let you, I'll let you borrow it after I finish it, actually. How about that?
Okay, and then I will take you up on that right after these messages.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. All right. So I guess we can talk a little bit about how it is treated medication-wise. It is a long-term illness. It is basically looked at as even a lifelong illness,
right,
for most people. Something that you have to deal with forever.
Yeah.
Medication-wise, lithium, since the 1970s, has been the go-to. It still is. It's a mood stabilizer, and it's going to help out with both sides of your mood swings.
And apparently,
if it works for you,
right? And like you said, that's the go-to, and it typically, like, people tend to respond to that.
Yeah,
it's a go-to for a reason.
Sure,
not just because it was first,
right? Or that there's a Nirvana song.
Right.
He was bipolar, right? Wasn't that
surely
the deal with Cobain?
Surely.
Yeah, I think so.
And there are alternatives to lithium because not everybody responds to it. Not everybody has a good reaction to it.
Yeah.
With even somebody who does respond well to lithium, they have to keep a pretty good eye on your lithium levels in your bloodstream. So you have to visit the doctor quite a bit. The whole point of, or I guess the rigmarole that you will go through when you are diagnosed with bipolar and say, I want to combat this with meds. Is basically shooting blind.
Yeah.
And using a pragmatic approach to medicating you into saying, okay, you're reacting well to this one.
Right.
Let's try a slightly lower dose and see what happens. And with lithium in particular, they keep an eye on it through blood tests. But with all meds used to treat bipolar disorder, they're going to really kind of like, try everything.
Yeah. And it's still like, how you feeling?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, tell me how you're feeling.
Right.
Not let's do this test to read on a screen how you're feeling.
Still. Yeah.
You know.
And again, part of the reason why is because they don't quite know how some drugs work. They just know that they do work for some people, but not everybody.
Yeah. Anticonvulsants is another one that they use, and it's also a mood stabilizer. And I think that calms down the parts of your brain, at least, that are ramped up and overacting.
Right. One of the ways that it affects that is by increasing the amount of GABA in your brain.
Yo, GABA?
Kind of.
What does that stand for again?
It stands for gamma aminobutyric acid, obviously.
Well done.
Thank you. It's been a while since I tried to pronounce something hard.
Well, you can use the anticonvulsant sometimes even with lithium. Again, it can be a cocktail of drugs that you're on.
Right.
Depending on what works for you.
Atypical antipsychotics can help. They usually, use those after they've tried the lithium. I think they tried lithium first.
Yeah.
Unless you're a teenage girl or a pregnant woman.
Right.
Antipsychotics work because, they affect the amount of dopamine in your brain.
Right.
And again, high levels of dopamine can lead to psychotic symptoms, which is why they call the drugs that treat those antipsychotics.
Right.
And then benzodiazepine, aka relaxants.
I think those are used less probably because they're addictive or can be addictive.
Yeah, and
at least they're short-term used.
Right.
Used.
And they use them to promote healthy sleep too. Like you said, one of the symptoms, especially of mania, is just going without sleep. Like you got too much to do.
Right.
And you don't even need it. So you don't sleep. And one of the presence of GABA or low amounts of GABA,
yeah,
which is a neurotransmitter that's involved in getting sleep.
Yeah.
And I believe staying asleep too. It kind of underlies this idea that your sleep cycle is off and it's either the result of your bipolar disorder or
right.
it's helping to cause your bipolar disorder. Either way, they found that promoting healthy sleep, for example, there's this thing called dark therapy,
yeah.
which is no exposure to artificial light after dark for a certain amount of time, can help promote healthy sleep and can help stabilize bipolar disorder symptoms.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
Well, yeah.
It always kills me when I see people on Facebook at like 3 a.m. saying on Facebook that they have insomnia.
Right.
Like, well, you've got a little shiny, bright screen in your face.
Exactly.
Start by putting that down
yeah.
and see what happens.
Yeah. There's all these little clues out there, Chuck, that like so many pieces of the jigsaw puzzle are on the table. They just haven't been fit together yet.
Yeah.
You know, but it seems like there's a kind of a hornet's nest out there. I've wondered, can you live with bipolar disorder without medication?
Right.
And apparently there's a big divide in the bipolar community. Like there's pro-med and anti-med.
Yeah.
And I've seen comparisons between talking about like religion or politics or meds.
Right.
With bipolar people, it's all the same.
Right.
Like you want to avoid those things to keep things friendly.
Right.
But I've seen that some people are like, yes, you can live without meds.
Yeah.
But you probably can't get too stable.
Right.
Without meds.
Right.
Well, once you get to stable, then maybe you can. But there's practically no way to get to stable without the help of medications.
Yeah.
So people who have bipolar disorder will be like, I've been med-free for a year, which is great because it means that they have managed to fight off episodes and triggers.
Yeah.
But they've done that through other therapy too, not just avoiding treatment.
Right.
Because if you avoid treatment, not only does your condition get worse, it gets harder to treat.
Yeah. Yeah. The episodes supposedly get worse
right.
as you go.
Yeah.
Well, there are all kinds of therapies that you use along either in place of your medications or along with, and we won't get too much into these because we've gone through most of them before, but cognitive behavioral therapy, of course, family therapy, group therapy, ECT. We did a whole show on ECT, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. That was a good one.
Yeah, electroconvulsive therapy. And one that I hadn't heard of, social rhythm therapy.
I hadn't heard about this either, but it makes utter and complete sense.
Yeah, and that has to do with, I think, getting yourself and your body on a set schedule is much better for you.
Right.
If you have bipolar disorder, not only just sleep, but just regulating your day and your schedule.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody's suggesting that a bipolar disorder is a mind over matter type situation. Like, I think there are very few mental illnesses that more clearly demonstrate the brain based understanding of mental illness than
yeah.
bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
Like, you're, neurotransmitters and the chemicals in your brain are out of whack.
Right.
It's as simple as that.
Right.
What these other non-medication therapies seek to do, especially the interpersonal and social rhythm therapy and cognitive behavioral therapy, is to get you to confront this thing.
Yeah.
To confront your condition and learn to understand it, like understand what your triggers are. Understand that you have to have X amount of hours of sleep
right.
per night
yeah.
or else you may end up in like a manic episode.
Right.
Understand that like you just can't drink whiskey.
Right.
Maybe you can have a beer like every couple weeks or something, but you can't touch whiskey because you'll end up in like a manic or a depressed. Like
right.
there are triggers out there. And for you personally, these are your triggers. And if you avoid them, you can stay in that stable range.
Right.
And learn to live with bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
You know?
Super interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So right after this break, we're going to talk about whether or not there's a link between creativity and bipolar disorder.
Hey, Chuck.
Yeah.
We've got a pretty good website.
Sure.
But not everybody does, even though they might want one.
Well, we have a team of people putting it together.
We do. But just the everyday person walking around out there has a team of people just waiting to help them get their website together. And that is Squarespace.
That's right. It is super easy to use. If you want your own website, you can have one with simple drag and drop intuitive features.
Yep.
You don't have to learn how to code and do all that stuff. And even if you get confused, which you probably won't, they have great 24/7 customer support.
That's right. They're very design-centric, and if you want to create a logo, they have an easy logo creator. You can go check it out for yourself at squarespace.com/logo. Plus, you have something to sell on your internet site?
Yeah.
Well, all of their plans have commerce options, from hosting an entire store to accepting donations for your personal blog.
Yeah, and it's a very responsive design, so your website's going to look great on every device, on your laptop, your tablet, your mobile phone. It is pretty great, my friends.
Guys, you can go try Squarespace risk-free. You go to squarespace.com/stuff, and you'll get a free 14-day trial with no credit card necessary. And if you like it, it costs as low as $8 a month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year.
That's right. So just use our offer code STUFF, and you can get 10% off of your first purchase.
That's squarespace.com/stuff with the offer code STUFF.
All right, buddy. There has long been debate on whether or not creative people are either more likely to be bipolar, or if bipolar can lead to creative genius.
Yeah, didn't we do an episode on that? Was it in the Thinking Cap? I think it was in this Thinking Cap Make Me a Genius episode.
Yeah, maybe
about
so.
Transmagnetic stimulation.
Yeah.
But it's that latent inhibition kind of thing for schizophrenia and creativity.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely like a laundry list of very creative people throughout the years that suffer from bipolar, from Beethoven to Jimi Hendrix, who wrote Manic Depression. Sylvia Plath, Edgar Allan Poe, Axl Rose is on the list.
Yeah.
Graham Greene, Dickens. Did I say Dickens?
No, but you just did.
Francis Ford Coppola, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
Yeah. He really had a terrible episode after, did Smile ever get released?
Yeah.
And it just flopped?
Well, it got released recently.
Oh, okay.
Like it
but
was
I'm saying
the
at
lost
the time.
Album. No, right. It never got released at the time.
So something happened that set him off. I guess the rest of the band members wanted to go in a different direction.
Well, he was obsessed with the Beatles too, and trying to be better than the Beatles.
Right. And I mean, Smile was up there. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess it never got released, and maybe that's what triggered his episode.
And started the dark years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was long before anybody understood anything. Like, this is prior to the advent of the use of lithium for bipolar disorder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That didn't come around until the 70s.
Yeah.
So I have a thing that I'd like to read. It's a little long, but there's this great article from Slate called What Does It Feel Like to Have Bipolar Disorder? And it was written by someone named Mills Baker. And it kind of backs up a lot of what we're feeling here, but gives you just a little insight since we can't talk firsthand, we'll let Mills Baker do it. Do you mind?
Please.
I think only in their extremes are mania and depression actually unintelligible to ordinary folks. That is, at their utmost intensity, they are unlike anything a normal person experiences. But at most times, they are not at all so different from the maximally intense moods that everyone knows, just more so, longer lasting, and disconnected from normative causes. And that seems to be one of the big points is, basically what he's saying is that it's not so different maybe than feeling manic or depressed yourself, but it's way more intense. Mm-hmm. It lasts for way longer, and there's may not be a cause.
Right. And I don't have bipolar disorder, but
right.
It would seem like it's to a debilitating degree. Like it affects the rest of your life negatively.
Yeah. Bipolar is less about short-term mood instability than about long-term mood cycles. Instability is a part of it, but not the only part. Second, the cumulative effect of these cycles on the formation of a personality is significant. So after a childhood of radically changing interest and attitudes on such a timeline, one develops a certain excitability, flightiness, distractibility, or perhaps that's just me. Again, it's different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a major part of being bipolar, the personality that is shaped by a lifetime of intense fluctuating moods. So he's taken just a more macro approach. It's going to make you who you are. You can't just look at the bad mood or the up mood. It's going to basically form your personality over
sure.
the years.
Yeah, I would imagine.
To know what it feels like is to know the qualia, the phenomenological experiences a bipolar person encounters that an unaffected person does not. I don't think there are many of these. Going berserk, being creative, having an awful temper, not being able to trust my own emotional reactions. These have a certain weight when I list them out. They can even sound unique, but everyone loses it. Everyone has moments of charisma and creativity and success, strength and achievement, and everyone struggles with himself. You may not hallucinate, which this guy does, by the way, but I can bet you understand what it's like for your mind to misbehave and react insanely. If you haven't yet lost control of your life, just wait. And for me, the most enduring way that bipolar feels different is in how I cannot trust my reactions. I thought this part was really interesting.
Yeah.
When someone says something to you and you recognize it as an insult, for instance, as abuse or abuse, your reactive anger is appropriate and you can commit to it. Or you can make some determination based on your values and your reason and choose a different course of action. I can't even trust the person that the person even insulted me. So I can't trust my emotional perceptions or reactions. So that's got to make you just feel way out of sorts.
Well, yeah.
If you can't even, you know, feel like you're trusting your own emotions.
Right. Like, if you, that's the one thing that you have.
Yeah.
Is how you're feeling about any given situation that makes up your personality in large part. And if that seems flawed to you, like, that's
or untrustworthy.
A rough way to live. Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, that is the strangest thing about how it feels. After the dust of the actual disorder settles, more than a decade in, this guy is talking about his 12 year, I think, since he was diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
After more than a decade in, the open insanity has abated and visits only briefly. The idea that I'm a secret artist is absurd. What's left is a more or less normal life in which I have to emphasize mental hygiene, like prioritizing regular sleep, for example, and in which I always feel doubt about what I think and feel, as we all probably should anyway.
Yeah.
So he seems, and he's on medication, and it seems like he has a healthy attitude about it. I think it's interesting to hear people talk in first person about mental illness.
Well, I'm sure it's a lot easier for him to talk about it now, too, that he's got it licked.
Yeah, or, you know, coping with it at least.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got anything else?
I got nothing else.
This is a good one. Hopefully it helps some people.
Yeah, thanks to Mills Baker for being open to Slate about the disorder.
Yeah. Thanks to Slate and Mills.
Mills and Slate.
If you want to learn more about bipolar disorder, you can type those words into the search bar at HowStuffWorks.com. It will bring up a very good article and a bunch of other stuff, too. And since I said very good article, that means it's time for listener mail.
Josh, I'm going to call this a shark correction.
Really?
Yeah, remember how we talked about sharks basically perfected themselves and haven't changed in millions of years?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes. I was like, we haven't talked about sharks in forever. Now I remember you.
Yeah, well, there's some brand new findings, which is pretty excited. And Jake Hayes from New York City sent this in. I really enjoyed the Darwin and Natural Selection episodes, guys, and thought you might find this recent study published in the journal Nature that is interesting given the example you gave about sharks. Apparently, contrary to the theory that they've barely changed over the past hundreds or millions of years, they may have evolved significantly, actually, from their ancient ancestors and may not be the living fossils we thought they were. Scientists have thought that shark gills were an ancient system that predated modern fish. However, a newly discovered fossil of a shark that dates back 325 million years shows a remarkably different gill skeleton than modern sharks. This fossil provides evidence that shark gills have evolved over time and that it is actually modern-day fish that may be the ones with the old gill systems. The new gill system may have changed over time to help sharks sprint after their prey or pry open their jaws to eat larger things. So he said he just came across this article, and I saw it all over the place, of course, like, you know, 2 weeks after we recorded.
I think it was even like a day or an hour or something.
Yeah, I think you're right. But it's pretty cool info, and that is, once again, Jake Hayes from New York City.
Nice. Thanks a lot, Jake. We appreciate you, and I think a few other people let us know about it, too.
Yeah.
But none but Jake was from New York City.
That's right.
So we selected him. If you want to let us know you're from New York City, we want to hear about it. You can hang out with us outside of the podcast on Twitter at SYSK Podcast. You can hang out with us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow. We also have Pinterest, Instagram, the whole jam. You can send us an email to stuffpodcast@discovery.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.